Welcome back, listeners. I have a guest now, Dr. Alicia Matthias Cardenza, and she is she studies and has done work in the university in Cork. Welcome, Alison. Alicia.
Hi, hello.
You have done amazing study on microplastics, especially in our water, in our fresh water. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And how, I just want to ask, first of all, how did you get into this study? Because it's, we're all aware of plastics and how dangerous they are. But in our fresh water, which could connect to our drinking water, is a little bit shocking. So could you tell us, please, how you became interested in that, Alicia?
Well, that's a very good question, yes. So we all know of or have heard of microplastics in the oceans, but fresh waters are not so, like, have not been the point of attention, or they were not a few years ago. So this was a study that I did for my PhD. So it was funded by the Irish EPA, and they were interested in understanding the plastic pollution in our fresh waters. We know now that plastic pollution is not only a problem in the oceans or in the seas, they are also present in fresh waters. So we wanted to understand whether these microplastics that we can find in rivers are also having an effect on, in my case, ecosystems or species, because I'm an environmental scientist.
And one of the things that's just crossing my mind, is there anything that we can do? I don't know if you're familiar with Dublin, but I walk most mornings down Dunkhondra and through a place called a park, and there's a river there. It's the Tolka, and the odd time I see a plastic, something plastic just floating by. Has anybody looked into something that can catch the plastics? Or is that a question I'm going to ask you in a little while? Because what I want to ask you is, Alicia, is this as frightening as I think it is?
Well, excuse me. There are different people from different, like, perspectives looking at this problem. So there are some engineers that have been looking at solutions at how to catch plastics in the ocean surface, for example. But although that could work, and probably, like, there is the same idea for rivers, I believe there is another country, believe it's the city of Amsterdam, where they are trying to catch also plastics in the canals or the rivers. But we believe that the solution should be at the source. So we should try not to, like, in the first place, pollute the rivers or the oceans. So we should try to stop those plastics going into the waters, because then it is harder then to catch them once they are in the environment.
Okay. I mean, I know we're extremely good on liquids, on contaminating liquids going into the rivers and so forth. And I also think not only is it illegal, I think you can be prosecuted and the fines are quite hefty. So I don't know if something like that can be introduced. But may I ask, Alicia, when did you actually start doing this study?
My PhD started 3 years ago, but I've been researching microplastics for the last 5 years. This study that was published last week or 2 weeks ago, we actually started it very early on my project, so in 2017.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you to explain the common polymer found in plastic bottles. Are they very damaging?
In this study we tested polyethylene, which is, like you said, a very common polymer. The polymer itself, it's not really, like, damaging. We haven't found any negative effects on the species that we've been testing that have been produced directly by the polymer or the particle itself. We, like all scientists now, believe that it's not only just the plastics themselves, it could be any chemicals that are attached or additives that come with the plastics that could be causing effects on organisms or animals. But also the size of the plastics might also have something to do with the potential negative effects. So the smaller they are, it's where we believe there could be negative effects.
Oh my goodness, I actually hadn't even thought of liquid or anything inside these plastic containers or whatever. And so once the plastics reach the rivers and oceans, we as a community, as a country, we really don't know what's happening to them. And if the animals are ingesting them or fragmenting them, the problem is amplified, isn't it?
Yes, so that's the main finding of my study here, is that we found that a very common animal, which is it's very common in Ireland, but not also in other countries, and not only in freshwater, but also in the oceans, they are able to fragment these microplastics, so they kind of grind them, making them smaller, and like you say, like amplifying the problem, in the sense of like they are producing more plastics, and some of them are smaller than the ones that they ingested in the first place.
And can I just ask, Alicia, have the Irish waterways and or the Irish the fishery board and anglers, I know these it's quite a big industry. Like, we get a lot of people normally, under normal circumstances, we get a lot of people from all over the world coming to fish in our rivers. So have they become aware of this major problem that we have?
I haven't been working with them directly since I've been focusing on freshwater, but I do believe, or I would assume, that everyone by now knows the problem of plastic pollution. I also wanted to say that like plastics are not bad, it's how we use them. So for example, we use now plastics like in our phones, like in cars, like planes are made with plastics. That's all good, you know, it's helping or it has helped our society to become better, and you know, the problem is to once, like for example, the example that you were giving me, you see plastics on the river every day, you probably have seen bottles or plastic bags, which are single use, so we use them for like 10 minutes, but they last very long, obviously longer than that, and that's the issue, you know. We need to, and then some, for example, and I'm sure that fishermen and the industry knows about this, but it's important that we all like focus on what's the actual issue and how can we tackle that.
Okay. I'm going from being quite shocked to wondering what we can do as a nation. Mm-hmm. And I'm very aware, like, I know the Liffey is a very fast flowing river, but our biggest river in the country, the Shannon, is actually a slow moving river. It's not as fast as people would think. And whereabouts, apart from obviously in the university doing your study there, where did you do field work?
No. For my PhD, most of my work was in the lab.
Okay. Well, did you get samples? Our listeners, and including myself, I have to say, would not be as aware of this this issue now, may not be as informed. So, would you have got samples, or how did you actually go about that, Alicia? Please.
So we got our samples from like the wild, in this case the animals, but then we test them in the lab. So we have our own experiments in under control, like situations in which we know, like we have the water and the microplastics, and then we have the animals and some feed, and then so we can actually understand in very detail how they are ingesting them. And in my case, I could see in the guts that they were fragmenting them. But I know, like, this is only like one side that we are researching in microplastic pollution. Then there is the other side in which there are other scientists that actually go there, and then they get samples from the water or sediment, and they look at those samples and whether they can find microplastics or not. And I know that in Ireland, there are some other researchers in other universities doing that, and they are finding microplastics as well.
Okay.
Basically, microplastics have been found everywhere because they are ubiquitous. They basically are reaching all environments in our planet.
I'm probably going to frighten my listeners, the listeners here and myself. Are you telling me that plastics have been found on the North and the South Atlantic, right down the Antarctic?
Mm-hmm. So, yes, yeah.
Oh my goodness, okay.
But so they have also been found, for example, very recently, even in the atmosphere, and so in actually coming down with rain in the United States in some national parks, which you would suppose that they are pristine. But that's a fact. It's a fact that microplastics are everywhere, but people shouldn't see this as being frightened about it. We still don't know whether there are negative impacts on us, for example. This is only because this area of study, plastic pollution, only started very recently. So we are now kind of starting to understand where the potential effects could be, but there is no, basically no idea yet on us, on humans. But there will be soon. I'm sure in the next 5 years we'll be able to understand how microplastics are having an effect on us, if they are having any effect.
So this biological, what do you call it, fermentation, it's a global issue, isn't it? It's all over the place. So can I just ask, mm-hmm. Alicia, apart from your study, which is quite extraordinary, are other universities doing something similar, or have you colleagues around the world that are fast getting interested in this problem?
So there are many researchers around the world at the moment researching microplastics in the freshwater environment. There is also two groups in Galway, for example, here in Ireland. There is also another group in Dublin, I believe, investigating microplastics in terrestrial environments, so in the soil. But then most, what my paper was about, the fragmentation of microplastics, there is not so many or not so much that is known at the moment. That's why we were quite surprised with this finding. But we believe that any potential, any other animals that are the same as the ones that we've tested, are present in any other parts around the world, would be able to go through the same process and fragment microplastics into smaller fragments.
Oh my goodness! Right, I you've actually stunned me, I have to say, quite honestly. And I know that our the salmon that come to Ireland, and when they breathe and they go back, I know there's a ship from Galway that followed them, and I'm not too sure what their findings were, but maybe I don't really want to know, actually. And where are you going to go now, Alicia? What is your plans with this?
I'm happy to say that I actually finished my PhD a couple of weeks ago, so I am now done with this part of my studies. But I started a new job in UCC as well, in which I'm going to be researching microplastics in the deep sea. So in Ireland, we have corals in the deep sea at 2,000 meters deep. And they are very important. It's a very important area. It's on the west coast of Galway, but 400 kilometers away. So it's a very important area because it's an area of conservation for these corals, and it's also a very important fisheries area. So next I'm going to be trying to understand whether microplastics are having an effect, or whether they are abundant in those areas, and what can we do about it. Now we also know that some fish and mussels, seafood basically, can have microplastics, but I don't personally eat seafood, but I have other friends or colleagues on microplastics that do. They are not afraid of that, and they always say that they are not really afraid because, we still don't know whether there are effects on us, and yes, also the concentration that has been found in such animal seafood is very small. So, for example, perhaps 1 or 5 microplastics in a fish is a very small number of them. So, other colleagues are still eating seafood, so I would not say for people to be, really concerned about that yet. For example, the fish, it's been proven that fish can bioaccumulate heavy metals, and that's a concern that hasn't really been proven.
Oh, my goodness. I have to tell you, Alicia, I had no idea. Oh my goodness, that we had actually a coral reef off our off our coast. So, if you're going to do this study, how are you sending down like drones or I don't know what they call miniature submarines? Or like, I mean, when I mean submarines, miniature little computer things like that. Is that how you're going to try and do this research?
Yes, so obviously we are not able to swim down 2,000 meters deep. So yeah, we send some kind of like robots that have cameras so we can see the corals. It's not only for microplastics, like the marine geologists have been doing this for a long time. They are trying to map the seafloor and also they are looking at the corals there. So we have some, like, let's say like robots that have cameras so we can have videos of the whole area for the corals. And also we send some other equipment that have like bottles that they open up and then they get all the water or sediment, or we are able to get cores, which are like we drill the bottom of the ocean and we get some sediment. Obviously, like this is not damaging, it's like a very small sample that we get, and then so we can actually have a look at those samples, in my case, to look for microplastics.
I think it's an extraordinary, I mean, it's an extraordinary, well, first of all, your career, I wish you the very best in your career.
Thank you.
Also, will your findings, will you be putting it up on online for people to read your papers?
Oh, yes, of course. So, well, I'm very active in Twitter. My handle is at Alicia Mateos, dashline. But yeah, I'm actually now trying to create my own website in which I'll be posting not only my papers, which are, you know, very scientific, and I know they, you know, that nobody's going to read those, but I'm also just going to try to be writing blog posts for, like, everyone to be able to understand and read not only my research, of course, but, like, what's going on in microplastic pollution.
Okay, and I'm actually I've been going from being quite very nervous and worried and everything else to being quite jealous with the fact of your future, what you're planning to do. I have to say I'm quite an elderly lady. I sailed for over 45 years and I love the sea, but I never gave it a second thought, and I am stunned that we have a coral reef. I always assumed that coral reef coral actually grew in warm waters, so but so it's obviously very cold down there. So
yes, so they are called deep sea, cold water corals. Yeah, I actually don't know the temperature down there, but yeah, definitely very cold.
Okay, Alicia, I have to say something to you now because I'm just so jealous here now and everything else. Will this be broadcast on the university or is this going to be your career work-wise? What I'm trying to say is that I want to have a look at the videos of whatever you find when you send down the camera equipment and things like that.
I believe there are already some videos on YouTube of the team because they've been doing this for a long time. But yeah, of course, we'll be continuing making videos and like blog posts and just showing everyone what we are up to.
Well, I think that's absolutely extraordinary. And I just want to say to our listeners that you sound like a very young, highly intelligent and a wonderful young lady. So I'm going to say thank you very much, Dr. Alicia Mantias.
Yes.
From the University of Cork, and I wish you the very, very best, and it's been an absolute privilege to talk to you and to listen to you, and oh gosh, I'm so proud of you, and I hope to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
No, it's been been an absolute honour for everyone here in the studio, and everybody here is quiet and listening to you, and I think they're absolutely stunned. And on that, Alicia, I'm going to say thank you very much and for giving us your time and an insight into our own country and developments in all areas. Many, many thanks.